Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Luke Darko, principal on Victory Park Capital's investment team. Victory Park invests in emerging and established businesses across various industries in the U.S. and abroad. Since inception, Victory Park Capital has invested nearly $10 billion across 220 investments, and Victory Park's legal finance strategy has deployed over $1 billion since 2018 across more than 100 legal finance transactions. Luke, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, John. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to speak with you as well. Why don't we start with just an overview of Victory Park's legal finance strategy? So what types of cases do you invest in? What metrics do you look for? And what do you stay away from when investing in litigation finance?
Sure. So as you mentioned kind of in the intro there, Victory Park Capital is an established private credit manager, founded back in 2007, investing approximately $10 billion since inception across 215 transactions, primarily asset-backed lending investments. Victory Park's legal finance strategy is about $1 billion of that $10 billion. And just consistent with the broader DNA of the firm, we view the legal finance asset class through a private credit lens. So we are placing an emphasis on downside protection, current income streams, really with a focus on creating attractive risk-adjusted return profiles for investors. So in other words, we're taking a institutional private credit approach to the asset class and really looking to build diversification across claim type, counterparty borrowers, as well as underlying case duration profiles, which is kind of contrasted to the more equity-like return profiles of what I'll call traditional litigation funders, which is really characterized by betting on single case outcomes, which, yes, implies higher absolute return, but also material binary risk and volatility. And that's not the return profile we are after at Victory Park. It is very much a private credit approach to the asset class. And legal finance is just one of several strategies for Victory Park. We're applying the same underwriting, structuring, and risk management playbook to our legal finance strategy that we're applying across the firm in our other credit verticals. Typically, we're leading with delayed draw term loan facilities, usually extended to law firms or other legal platforms in the asset class. We're looking to attach to diversified pools of underlying claim collateral. Currently, the majority of our portfolio, call it 80% round numbers, consists of underlying mass tort, class action, and high volume legal claim collateral, with about 20% round numbers of our portfolio allocated to more diversified, complex commercial exposure. These term loan facilities, highly structured credit instruments, typically featuring all asset first liens, robust covenant packages, tight cash controls, as well as various other credit enhancements. And we're maniacally focused on diversification. So we're avoiding taking any concentrated bets, especially within early stage pre-settlement litigation. I mean, we tend to skew a little more mature just in terms of the kind of procedural spectrum. So post-settlement, obviously, but also near settlement or pre-settlement exposure that's at least through dispositive motions. We're very disciplined around attachment point or loan to value. I mean, as a general rule, we lend against pre-settlement collateral at a sub 20% LTV and post-settlement around a kind of 60 to 70% LTV. Typically, I mean, if I had to generalize, our typical law firm borrower has a diversified docket of mass or class litigation exposures, as well as a high volume practice that throws off consistent cash flow. And then in terms of metrics, we're looking for, we'd like to see at least 3 to 5 years of track record, more specifically, a track record of success in monetizing underlying legal claim collateral. We're also looking for efficient marketing functions from an ROI and cost per acquisition perspective, and really look for quality intake functions and low historical case fallout or attrition rates. And then last thing, once again, very focused on our attachment point and loan to value, and making sure we're attaching to diverse pools of underlying claim collateral, because we aren't pricing our term loan facilities to be taking any sort of kind of binary or concentrated bets. I wanted to take a quick pause there. Hopefully that made a little bit of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for that broad overview. And we'll dive into some of those specifics in a moment. But I just want to start with just sort of the asset class in general. So what makes litigation finance an attractive asset class for you to invest in? So what are you viewing as the tailwinds at play here for this sector right now?
Yeah, so really three key attributes in my mind, which make the legal asset class attractive. First, the asset class is uncorrelated. I mean, more specifically, underlying legal claim collateral is generally uncorrelated to the broader macroeconomic backdrop. So, for example, a plaintiff pursuing product liability mass tort litigation, that litigation having merit and ultimately resulting in proceeds both for plaintiffs and for law firms, this exhibits little correlation to the broader capital markets. And ultimately, it's these underlying legal proceeds that kind of form the basis of our collateral that our term notes are attaching to. Second, the asset class is highly inefficient. Several factors at play creating this inefficiency, but I think most notably, law firms in the U.S. historically have been missing the entire right side of the balance sheet, which is mostly due to restrictions around non-lawyer equity ownership in law firms, and just a general lack of traditional debt financing solutions. This is starting to change, but I mean, historically, like I said, firms really have been missing the entire right side of the balance sheet, which has created and sustained capital markets related inefficiency, and as a result, the ability for investors to generate attractive risk adjusted return. In addition, and this is a bit more anecdotal, but the legal industry in general is not institutional from a capital markets perspective. Plaintiff firm attorneys are generally not running sophisticated capital raising processes when thinking about funding their firms, not thinking about cost of capital in an institutional way. Which also creates opportunity. And lastly, I mean, the asset class is growing, still relatively nascent. The demand for legal funding has continued to outpace the supply of capital. There's numerous different data points in the market. According to Thomson Reuters, total annual legal spend in the U.S. alone is $445 billion. So this is a very large total addressable market. And it's an asset class that, like I said, continuing to grow. So in sum, via our legal finance strategy, we're able to provide LPs access to an asset class that is uncorrelated, inefficient, and growing, which, I mean, of course, is interesting on its face. And just in terms of a few tailwinds, I mean, the first one, I mean, it's obvious. But still worth mentioning, but Arizona and kind of abolishing Rule 5.4, which prohibits fee sharing between lawyers and non-lawyers. I mean, this has really created material capital inflows into the asset class via Arizona ABS entities or just Arizona law firms themselves. And we're seeing the impact of this probably most acutely within the mass tort ecosystem. As more and more capital is being allocated to mass tort marketing and case acquisition, for example, we're starting to see some of these mass tort litigations get larger and larger, primarily from a case count standpoint, as more and more ad dollars is being allocated to case acquisition. I think another theme and potential tailwind is the introduction of insurance wrappers to litigation finance investments or portfolios. I mean, the principal protection that an insurance wrapper provides, as well as in some cases being able to box in duration risk, this really opens up a wider universe of potential investors. And then lastly, I mean, we continue to see a developing secondary market. That secondary market is continuing to mature and institutionalize, and this will really allow investors to access liquidity in a more efficient way, really across the procedural spectrum. And I mean, duration is notoriously difficult to underwrite in this asset class. And if investors are able to access liquidity kind of along the procedural spectrum, I think that opens up a broader universe of investors.
And so if we dive into litigation funding specifically, like, how are you looking for opportunities there? Are you going by case type? Is it jurisdiction? Or is it through your sourcing, origination? Where are you seeing the opportunities for you guys to create excess value?
At Victory Park, I mean, like to think our go-to-market approach is a differentiator. I mean, we aren't looking to compete for deal flow with the large pure play litigation finance funders in the market. And instead, really over the course of the past several years, we've established exclusive sourcing relationships, both with tier one law firms, as well as other legal platforms in the asset class, who really provide us exclusive access to diverse legal claim exposure and opportunity across the entire legal industry. So, said differently, we've created an ecosystem of law firm and platform relationships that has resulted in material and proprietary deal flow. And just given the inefficiency in the asset class, which I mentioned earlier, I mean, there's not really a robust sell-side broker network shopping opportunities. And for the most part, law firms themselves, plaintiff firms, they're not running their own sophisticated capital raising processes. So it's really all about developing relationships at the law firm level, at the legal platform level, to really create deal flow. And I mean, I think this is something we've been reasonably successful at doing over the past several years, and pretty consistent with what Victory Park has done within the broader fintech ecosystem really the past 15 years. It's a very similar playbook in creating an ecosystem of relationships that we lock up contractually that throws off opportunity, like I said, across the entire legal industry. Generally, we're skewing more towards mass, class, and high volume. I think it's just easier to build diversification within the mass tort ecosystem with firms that have diversified class action exposure. And of course, firms with high volume practices, which, I mean, that could be thousands of cases at a time in an underlying, within a firm's underlying docket. It's a little more difficult to build diversification within kind of complex commercial claims. We do have some exposure to complex commercial as well as some international arbitration, but definitely not a priority, as, like I said, not able to build the same level of diversification.
Yeah, and so what sort of benefits do those law firms that you're partnering with, what are the benefits that they obtain from partnering with Victory Park?
Yeah, so look, I mean, like to think of ourselves as pretty flexible, both in terms of structure as well as sizing. I mean, we're looking to help solve problems, help solve various pain points, right? In addition to just being a lender, just being a debt provider. So for example, we really like to grow with our law firm borrowers. So we'll do the work to write a $5 million initial check and have the ability to scale that initial check all the way up to $50, $100 million as the underlying collateral pool continues to increase. So I really think it's just our flexibility and not kind of template doc that we kind of force our borrowers to abide by, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Flexibility is very important, especially with a lender. And that type of relationship is important. So I guess the last question is, I do want to touch on the regulatory environment. This is obviously an important development. It's ongoing. But you know, we had the PACCAR ruling recently, and we've got some regulatory pushback across the U.S. and globally, but obviously your U.S. focus. So does any of that give you pause about just the sector in general, about like how you think about this sector shape shaking out over the next 5 years, 10 years, that kind of thing?
Not particularly. I mean, look, I mean, with any nascent asset class, I mean, you would expect kind of increased regulatory scrutiny along the way. And look, I mean, as an institutional investor, I mean, we welcome that, right? Because obviously across the firm, I mean, very used to dealing with various regulatory and compliance issues across industry, across sector. Legal finance is no different. More specifically with what happened in the UK, we don't have much exposure in the UK. I mean, our investments are, they're debt instruments, so not damages-based agreements. So, I mean, that particular ruling doesn't really give us much pause. And I mean, somewhat related, litigation finance in our minds is generally very ESG positive, right? I mean, the presence of funding really improves the access to justice for plaintiffs that wouldn't have the financial wherewithal themselves to bring litigation against a Fortune 500 company defendant, for example, if not for the presence of funding. So, I mean, litigation funding, I mean, it's solving a real need in the market. Yes, I mean, regulatory scrutiny is going to increase as the asset class continues to grow. But I mean, I think that's only natural and honestly welcome as that increased regulatory scrutiny that's actually going to help the asset class institutionalize over time.
Yeah, of course, it makes a lot of sense. Help keep the bad actors at bay. And you mentioned there's a huge TAM out there, so there's plenty of fish in the sea for funders looking for those meritorious cases. Luke, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your thoughts on Victory Park, on your private credit approach to litigation funding. Really interesting stuff. We really appreciate you coming on here.
Of course. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. If you'd like to learn more about Victory Park and their litigation finance strategy, you can visit them at their website, www.victoryparkcapital.com. Thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you on the next episode of the Litigation Finance Podcast.